Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I've been joined live in studio by a fine guest. She is Sarah Godlewski. She is the Wisconsin State Treasurer currently, but she is running to be a U.S. Senator from the great state of Wisconsin, perhaps to take on Ron Johnson in the general in the fall. But first, you got to win the primary. Sarah, welcome back.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to see you. New digs here.
I know.
New world headquarters in Madison.
And I'm really impressed. When I walked in, I saw this Donald Trump beer opener, which if it was after four, I'd be all in.
Well, it's, you know, kind of like you curb stomp the man every time you open a bottle.
I know. I like it. I like it.
Sarah, wanted to start about an issue that I think is coming down the pike and may affect the entire trajectory of the midterms. Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And I know it's an important issue. Women's reproductive rights, obviously, you're a woman, and I think it should be important to everyone, but perhaps more so to your candidacy. I got to think here. With Jillian Bettino moving on, I think you're the only female candidate in the race.
That's correct.
And I think we're going to see some major change to Roe v. Wade, perhaps not completely throwing out the prior precedent, but then again, maybe we will. Sarah, are you prepared? Do you think this will be a change in the tone of this entire elective cycle come this summer?
Well, I mean, I will tell you, Mike, when I travel the state, this is something that does come up. And for me, even personally, I think about this a lot because we have a complete abortion ban on the books in Wisconsin. So what that means is that if anything happens to Roe, that literally women are not going to have access to making their reproductive choices because we have a complete abortion ban, which means no exception for rape or for incest. And so what I get really frustrated about is we've had this precedent for 50 years, Mike. I mean, we have literally lived under this for 50 years. Why hasn't Congress codified this into law? I mean, we have had the presidency, we have had Congress. Like, why haven't we just gotten this done? And to me, I think it's because a lot of our representatives, even on our own side, Mike, treat this as, you know, an extra credit project. Don't prioritize it enough. And now we are seeing this, I think it's likely going to be overturned or completely gutted. And what are folks in Wisconsin going to do? And we're looking at states across the country. I mean, just recently in Missouri, they've now passed a law where, or they're trying to pass a law where if someone wants to get an abortion out of state, they can be actually held liable. I mean, it's just crazy how they are attacking women and reproductive justice. And this is something that I think is going to continue to be front and center.
Sarah, do you think the broader electorate realizes how precarious women's reproductive rights are at the current moment, how quickly this ruling could come down, perhaps as soon as into June, early July, but it's coming down. Do you think the American people are ready for this and ready to respond to this? And if so, what's that going to look like?
So Mike, I actually think about how Wisconsin reacted when the Texas ban went in place, the 6-week abortion ban, where literally citizens, for example, could hold people accountable for making these reproductive justice choices. And I remember I actually traveled the state going to these rallies in places like Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Mike, in Ron Johnson's own county, own hometown. They had organized a huge rally and said enough. And so I think just seeing how Wisconsinites reacted, knowing about what was happening in Texas, and I think about what that and what kind of energy and what kind of just frustration that's going to the electorate's going to feel then in June. I think people are just going to say, I'm done with this. Like, this is a priority and we can't keep thinking about it as some sort of side project. And we've got to actually vote someone in who's going to prioritize this, who's not afraid to talk about it, and who's going to get this done in Washington.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. She is Sarah Godlewski. She is a U.S. Senatorial candidate from the great state of Wisconsin, would like to be the opponent of Ron Johnson and would like to take his seat, the one currently he has held. He's the senior senator currently. Tammy Baldwin's our good senator, as we would call her. Sarah, the right is tremendously engaged at this point.
Yeah.
And they have been tremendously engaged really by a big lie, by a fiction. But I see it in the metrics of media consumption. It's off the charts on the right. And I look at that as sort of a precursor. The engagement levels of the right, they have convinced themselves, they've been misled to believe that the election was stolen from them, that somehow Donald Trump got screwed, and by extension, they were all screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, perhaps if Barack Obama had told us in 2012, if Romney had won and he said, hey, it was a stolen election, we would have believed our leader, I think. So perhaps I can give some cover to those that might believe the one they voted for. But at the end of the day, there's no evidence to suggest any of this was true. And Sarah, it's played out in the courts, it's played out in the recounts, yet we've got this tremendously energizing fiction, and somehow we're supposed to live our lives around this and pretend like the Gableman investigation's not happening here in the state of Wisconsin, that some gubernatorial candidate's entire platform isn't rolling back the last election and perhaps every election back to Bob Dole.
Yeah.
Sarah, it's energizing, but it's a falsity. So how do we defend democracy? Because their reaction in no small part was January 6th. It was a violent insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
How do we, you know, love the kitchen table and issues, love the agendas, but how do we get beyond this sort of battle for democracy? And where do you think it plays in your candidacy?
So, I mean, I think that a lot of folks are really concerned about democracy and what are we actually doing about it, including not just progressives, but I think independents. And when we look at who helps win these elections in Wisconsin when you're only winning by 20,000 votes, it's making sure not only we get out our base, but we cross over and we speak to independent voters. And it's been interesting because I've now traveled the state a lot and I've talked to Republicans. And a handful of Republicans that I've talked to, for example, they've said, you know, Sarah, I'm not voting for Ron Johnson. And I've asked them and I've said, well, why not? And, you know, in my mind, Mike, I'm like, was it spending July 4th in Russia? Was it, you know, peddling junk science? Like, what was it that you now have voted for him twice in the past and you're now not going to vote for him a third time? And every single person has talked about January 6th, disinformation, and how they view their role as protecting democracy is voting this guy out. And so to me, I think we have a real opportunity to use that to get independent and moderate voters on our side. Because what are things that we stand for? We stand for democracy. And we have seen that time and time again. I mean, let's talk about the Freedom to Vote Act. What the Freedom to Vote Act that right now we could get through the Senate if we didn't have the filibuster preventing us is it would make sure that every single state abides by the same audit rules when looking at an election. So they couldn't pull this crazy stuff about changing the rules and everything else. It would provide transparency, accountability. And the other thing that the Freedom to Vote Act would do, Mike, that I want to emphasize, is stop the attack on these clerks. I mean, that's the other thing that I get really worried about is I talk to these local clerks. They're doing this because they believe it's their, you know, civic responsibility. And yet people are attacking them for doing their jobs. And so we've got to make sure, in my mind, that we are talking to voters about this and how we are standing for transparency, accountability, and that's exactly what laws that we are working to pass in Washington are set to do.
Pardon me, you've left me speechless. My fine guest, Sarah Godlewski, and that's a rarity, Sarah. Sarah Godlewski is a U.S. senatorial candidate. Sarah, once upon a time, Scott Walker won a recall in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
He won another re-election beyond that point. And I heard a guy like Roger Stone, who was a Donald Trump ally, said, well, he fixed five elections. And I wanted to believe it because I couldn't believe the guy had won these re-elections. But as I've done a little research on the way elections are run in the state of Wisconsin, it's implausible. There's 1,850 different election clerks. It's so decentralized. You can't really pull off a conspiracy. I don't care how good you are. You'd never keep it secret. It would out. We would know. It would have come out in the audits. It would have happened. And, you know, you look at those that do the math. Even Ron Johnson, we've heard ads. Ron Johnson pointed out Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin because a lot of Republicans I call them different things sometimes, Sarah. A lot of Republicans voted at the down ticket but didn't vote at the top. They found him distasteful. They didn't want to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump is nationalizing, or at least would like to nationalize this election.
Yep.
He encouraged Ron, of course, to run for re-election when Ron was still playing coy and acting like it was a question mark. Sarah, do you see this as a nationalized election? If you win the primary, are you running against both Ron and Donald Trump in some way?
In my mind, I think that we will see Donald Trump here frequently.
In Wisconsin. Again.
Again, just like we saw him here frequently in 2016. I mean, I think of my hometown of Eau Claire. I mean, he spoke at my high school in 2016. We saw him again here in 2020. He came often. And so I do think that Ron Johnson will use Donald Trump as a way to try to rally the base. But at the end of the day, in my mind, I think what we do is we talk about what we got done for folks in Wisconsin. I mean, Ron Johnson, where was he with the infrastructure package, Mike? I mean, this literally...
Well, he was supposed. He was a no vote.
He was a no vote for it, which, what was that going to do? Expand broadband. It is going to fix the damn roads, or the Scott holes, as we like to call them here and there. And then it's going to make sure we get these lead pipes out of communities. And so, and what did Ron Johnson do with the budget process? Do you know how much money he brought to the state of Wisconsin? Nothing. He brought nothing to Wisconsin. He didn't put any money forward into helping our state.
Well, Sarah, in defense of Ron Johnson, in a twisted sort of way, he brought lots of bacon back to the state of Wisconsin. It was just in the form of tax cuts, and probably mostly to the benefit of a couple of billionaire donors to him.
Yeah.
Ron Johnson saved the Uhlines and saved the widow Hendricks, something like, depending on who's reporting you believe, $80 to $200 million in the single 2018 tax year.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a bring home the bacon, at least for a few selected people.
Yeah.
Now, Ron came to my former Milwaukee studios and said, Crudy, I did it for guys like you and I. We're both designated S. We're both small corporations with pass-through income that we've got to pay taxation on. But I didn't get a $200 million tax cut, Sarah. And he got a kickback of something to the tune of like $21 million. He's a pretty good investment for the very wealthiest. He certainly return their investment. But no, he didn't fix the roads, but he did, you know, he did fix some taxes for some folks.
Well, and to your point, Mike, I think he said, oh, my wealth only doubled during the pandemic, when we know at the height of it, 1.2 million Wisconsinites were underemployed and unemployed and couldn't make their bills. And so for me, I think this goes back to, what am I talking about on the trail, for example? I mean, one of the policy papers that I put forth was a wealth tax. And we have seen it firsthand. I mean, something I actually talk about with my parents. My parents are two retired public school teachers in Eau Claire. And I'm like, it's crazy that they pay a higher percentage in taxes than my husband, who's an impact investor.
Yeah.
I mean, this system is so broken. And then we're seeing that fossil fuel companies, Mike, are getting subsidies still, I think, to the tune of a few $100 million. And every time you see a pharmaceutical ad,
I prefer the term corporate welfare, but please continue.
Mm-hmm,
Sarah.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. I like that. I'm gonna have to use that more, Mike. But even like pharmaceutical companies, every time you see a stupid ad, they're the ones that are getting tax write-offs for that stuff. So to me, this is like a no-brainer, and we've got to be working on this stuff.
Sarah Kodlewski, a fine U.S. senatorial candidate. Sarah, I want to talk more about your platform, what you would stand for as a candidate. We'll come back with Sarah. She's here at the world headquarters. And if you're very, very nice, we'll let you talk with Sarah Kodlewski as well. Dial her up at 844-967-2789. If there's time, we'll do a town hall style. But you know, Sarah, we've tried this with Rojo several times. Never works out.
It doesn't?
No. We've answered the phone and people will say things like, oh, I don't want to talk to him. I just want to tell him what a bastard he is. I'm like, well, that's not really playing nice for the format. So we'll see. Lightly screened phone calls. And I know who the super conservatives are. CJ, you're not getting through. But anybody else, consider calling 844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates, back to the world headquarters. Our fine guest, candidate, Sarah Kodlewski, U.S. Senate.
The the Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I've got perhaps the smartest girl in the class. She is Sarah Godlewski. She is a U.S. senatorial candidate. And we were always the guys sitting in the back clowning a little bit, Sarah. So forgive me if I missed a few of the lectures. You talked about a wealth tax. Around here, we talk a lot about income disparity. I was a Bernie guy. I believe that we can find commonality. Independents, Republicans, Democrats, all care about paying the bills, our own bills, and sometimes the government bills as well. And I think we all feel that corporations are certainly not taxed fairly, not the big corporations. They're not paying their fair share. And a lot of that falls back then on the middle class taxpayer. If the big corporation's not paying anything, then we got to pay. So how do you help recapture some of the wealth? I mean, if Elon Musk can go pay $44 billion for Twitter, can the man pay some taxes, for Christ's sake?
Well, yeah, and to your point, Elon Musk, what, made $132 billion during the pandemic? So maybe that $44 billion that he just used to buy Twitter, he should have actually just been paying for his taxes. But I think, look, if there's something that we know is front and center, it's we've got to reevaluate our tax code, because there is no way that folks like Ron Johnson or Elon Musk get away with paying nothing. It just doesn't make any sense. So we tax income, but not wealth. So the rich just keep getting richer. And this is where I think, and I could dork out about this, Mike, all day, but Senator Wyden, who is one of the chairs of the Financial Services Committee, has really been thoughtful, I think, in how we can actually effectively tax wealth and make sure that we're evaluating it and we put a percentage on it. Because right now, if somebody who is wealthy, let's say, you know, let's just use like a piece of art, for example, that goes up in value, you're not taxed on that. Or if an investment goes up in value, you're not taxed on a lot of that stuff.
Not till you sell it and realize it, and you know, you can borrow against it the rest of your life if you've got an asset. So you never have to actually sell the underlying asset. What about a windfall profits tax? Obviously, during this pandemic, you know, we've seen certain sectors blow up and have done really well. And then we see some that seem like they're profiteering. They're blaming the inflation on Joe Biden, but they're making record profits. So how do we stem the record profits, or at least call enough attention to it that the American people say, you know, I am taxed enough already. How about Exxon pay a little? How do we do that, Sarah?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you hit two of the industries. Well, let's even say three of the industries. We've got big tech, right, where I think that we've got to look at where that can profiteering and kind of windfall can boon and play. Let's also talk about pharmaceutical companies. Actually, something, Mike, that I talk a lot about is what I get frustrated about with pharmaceutical companies is they get these tax write-offs, but at the same time, we're the ones that pay up front for them to even develop these drugs. And so to me, we not only need to make sure that we are stopping price gouging, but at the same time, if they're getting public money to make these drugs, we've got to then not only make them pay it back, but we should even have an accountability tax on top of that. So I think that there are ways with the same thing with with fossil fuel industries. As I mentioned right before the break, they're getting still tax subsidies to date, which is crazy to me. And how much have they been making?
Even corporate welfare.
Exactly. Exactly. It is just frustrating. And I think the other thing that we got to keep talking about that isn't is, let's talk about the audits of these companies. We know right now the IRS is not equipped to actually do a lot of auditing for these companies to make sure they're not taking these kind of back alley ways of skipping taxes. And so this is, I think, something else that needs to be front and center is we've got to make sure the IRS has the staff that they need to be auditing these large corporations so that they're paying their fair share. So to me, it's kind of this multifaceted approach.
Sarah, there are four primary, at least I would call them first-tier candidates. You, Mr. Nelson, Mr. Mandela Barnes, and Mr. Lasry. And I see Daniel Bice is out there writing another column, and that's what he does. He writes columns about candidates. Apparently, every single one of these candidates has been touched, including yourself, by Amazon and Walmart and some different stocks. Now, I understand you have perhaps sold off the stocks in question. But Alex Lazary says he's not going to sell off the stocks. And ultimately, Amazon is a corporation that's been fighting the unionization efforts at their warehouses. Sarah, where do you stand on the union efforts? And, you know, as a secondary note, do you have to sell off your entire stock portfolio and hold it in cash? Because then you're subject to only doubling your wealth like Ron Johnson.
Right. Well, Mike, look, you know, I'm a proud product of a union family. And something that I learned at a very early age is that my parents said, look, Sarah, we've got good wages, we've got good benefits, and we've got good working conditions. Why? Because the union fought for it. And so for me, knowing that, I have really lived my values. When I became state treasurer, one of the things that I was really proud about is working with other state treasurers to address corporate abuses with workers. So I band together, for example, when Amazon during the pandemic wasn't providing PPE or paid time off for employees that were sick, me and a bunch of other treasurers said, knock it off. Like, when you don't take care of your workers, this is a huge risk and there's going to be consequences. Or the same thing when they were meddling with Amazon trying to unionize in Alabama, the same thing. We said, knock it off. And so to me, I think one of the things that I have tried to think through is how can I actually use my investment authority to help holding corporations accountable? And I think there needs to be more and more of these activist investors that are using that voice.
Sarah, recently Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post, she wrote up the four primary candidates in the race, but she pointed to you as sort of a pragmatic, a good choice here in the state of Wisconsin. But then she also pointed out you trail. You're not currently the front runner in the polling we've seen. So, Sarah, you know, starting to get to be a sprint. How do you catch the front runner? How do you win the nomination? You know, I can give you like 90 seconds to win the nomination, sister. How do you do it?
Well, look, Mike, if there's one thing that I can tell you, it's I've been underestimated my entire life, whether that was my time getting and starting my own business to working at the Pentagon to stopping Scott Walker's power grab to actually flipping more Trump counties than the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general. And to me, there's just too much at stake. And just like I worked hard and delivered as state treasurer, I'm going to do the exact same thing in this race. We're listening to folks. We're traveling the state. We're getting out there. We're on air in all seven media markets. And so to me, once I get my message out, I really believe that Wisconsinites are going to see that. And I'm the best candidate to beat Ron Johnson.
Sarah, if people want to support your campaign, how do they do so? Give them the website.
They can go to sarahforwisconsin.com. And that's Sarah with an H, all spelt out, sarahforwisconsin.com.
Sarah Godlewski, fine U.S. senatorial candidate. Sarah, we've already invited you to a couple of the big summer events. I know it's going to be a sprint. We look forward to seeing you at the finish line. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. I guess it's the happy hour. And then the happier happy hour when Dom joins us. But you're going to stick around for all 3 hours. That's all we ask. 3 hours, 5 days a week. Thank you so much, Sarah Godlewski.
Thanks for having me.
Into the future.